Hey, what's going on, Dutch Nation? First off, I apologize. I'm a little sick right now, so my voice sounds kind of haggard. But the show must go on, and we are officially in March now. So the focus here is mob madness. I know the NCAA's got the March Madness thing. We're going to do mob madness because we're Dutch bros. So we want to focus on people that have been in every role of the mob, starting with Sean Keto, who is a current mobster and in Casa Grande right now, helping Skylar with his opening. And man, let me tell you, Sean is just all heart. He loves Dutch Bros. He loves people. He worked graveyards for a long time. He just really craved that deeper connection with those customers that you get with those late night, slower shifts. Definitely doing his part to continue growing with Dutch Bros. He really sees a future with the company. And we're excited to have people like him on the mob, fighting the good fight, helping everybody open up their stands. So, sit back, relax, and enjoy the Sean Keto Podcast.
Sean, welcome to the Red Couch.
Dude, thanks, man. This is crazy. It's a nice couch.
We always like to kind of start off nice and light.
Yeah.
What was the first drink that you ever had at Dutch Bros? And what do you drink currently today?
The first drink that I ever had, I think, was actually a straight up kicker. I was working at Fred Meyer's and would stop by the Fred Meyer's stand and chug down one of those.
Iced or hot? Or?
Oh, hot.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Hot kicker. Medium hot one. But then I got hooked on white chocolate chai breves when I started working at that stand.
Okay.
I drank those every day, like all day.
Okay.
That was the bomb.
Wow, that's kind of out of left field. That's
yeah.
Because
yeah.
Usually people like blended caramelizers or Milky Ways at the time.
Yeah, yeah.
But white chocolate chais.
That was it, man. It was
chai
so
breve.
Good. The breve,
oh, yeah.
Yeah. Dude. I love chai breves. Like an 8-ounce one when it's like nice and cold outside, just like a little nutmeg.
Ooh, and, oh and it's gosh. Like... A little hungry too, fill you right up. Yeah. It's good.
So is that what you're still drinking or what's the jam today?
Yo, you know I'm hitting that small hot black.
Oh, he graduated.
Like six ice cubes. There we go. But every now and then I will throw down a Rebel and it's really good.
Nice.
Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah. So then did Bethany Hasek hire you
That's
at
right.
Freddy's? No
yeah.
way.
Yep.
Ah,
that
cool.
was it. I walked by and like always like crack jokes like, hey, because I'd go out to the bottle return when I was always like grumpy faced walking by. So we'd always crack a joke and be like, there he goes, the bottle man. And I'm like, yeah, that's me. And then just ended up like sitting down there and hanging out on breaks. And
yeah,
one thing led to another.
That's cool.
Here we are.
Yeah. And that was 2012?
Or 2011.
2011. Wow.
Yeah.
Dang.
I remember I tried getting a job at... the Fred Meyer stand. I checked in, but they're like, oh, we're closing this one down.
Yeah.
Like,
R.I.P. Fred Meyer stand.
Saddest day, man. Yeah.
And I think the main thing with that was they were like renewing the lease agreement and they were going to charge us a lot more money. And it was like, you know, this one, it's just more like OG and it's near and dear to all our hearts and grants past. But it ever was like super busy. And then at that point, it's like, oh man, they're going to gouge us with the price now. It's like, let's make it an events cart.
Did it still have the lever?
It did, yeah. The, oh it was like the gosh. Manual.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
It was so sweet.
Not trying to get in there and out of there quickly, you know?
No.
It's like, okay, let's take our time. That thing was cool, though.
It was so cool.
Yeah. But then you ended up working at Agnes in Grants Pass, our 24-hour location. When did that happen?
So I went from Fred Meyer's, and I actually went and started working at the Ringette stand.
Oh, Ringette.
For like 5-6 months, and then ended up switching over to working graves over at Agnes there, and so that was like maybe a year or so in, and which was a crazy switch because like Ringette is like 3 times the size of Agnes,
right? Yeah.
So I was like little like 19-year-old me was like sick, like less space, like I can clean this shop in 2 hours. I was like super hype on that, instead of like run around like crazy, but
yeah.
Switched over to there, man.
And then you did graves for a while. It takes a special person to work graveyards, especially to do it a long time. So talk a little bit about that. I mean, how did you adjust like your sleep schedule and all that? I always have mad props to the grave guys.
I did a split sleeping schedule. So I would go like, I would get off the grave, sleep for a few hours and then be up all day. Mm. And then that way, like, I could go get stuff done during the day, hang out with friends, things like that. So it wasn't completely opposite. And then I'd take another nap before work. Oh. So that was like the weirdest thing. Like, wasn't getting like super long sleep. I would do that for like 5 days in a row and then get like a 12-hour, like just literally crash out.
Just hibernate for a day.
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
So it was crazy, but I loved it, man. Graves, they're a lot slower, obviously.
Sure.
But so it gave you a lot of like intentional one-on-one time with people rolling through.
Yeah.
Sometimes it was like quick, like, okay, sweet, have a great night. And then other times someone would hang out for like an hour.
Cool.
And just kick it, and you're just cleaning and getting down with a great conversation. Yeah. And really like make some good connections, man.
Were there a lot of regulars at those hours, or did you just get a lot of randoms?
A lot of regulars, and then a lot of travelers, because that Agnes stands right by the freeway there. Mm-hmm. So it was always neat. You never knew who was going to like roll up. Like,
yeah. Did you ever get robbed?
I had one crazy experience where a dude, like, back in the day, they were like, the Torani bottles were glass.
Right. Yeah.
So he like climbed through the window and kind of like threw one and was like, took the till. It was a crazy weird thing. And then he ended up dropping his wallet in the stand.
Busted.
And like, yeah, the cops were like, yo, is this the dude? I'm like, that's him.
Yeah.
And I found him. And so, but other than that, like, not really. Like, yeah. Most people coming up were pretty, like, cool and mellow.
Yeah, I didn't get robbed, like, a ton, but that one was more of a target just because it literally was, like, right off the I-5 on ramp. So people would just hit them and then instantly hit the freeway, like, 100 miles per hour. Yeah. So, well, that's good.
Yeah. The one... This guy was on foot, so.
Yeah, yeah.
Unless he was, like, could run, like, 100 miles an hour. He wasn't getting far.
And he dropped his wallet.
You were a staple of the Grave Shift for a while. I mean, yeah, that's where I met you, too.
Like, yeah, man. I remember once I ordered something from Dutchware to my house, which is ironic because I live in Grants Pass, but on the package it said, like, Sean, OG Grave guy. And I was like, no way. And it was actually like someone had written it on the box, like knew who I was. I was like, all right, yeah, that's sweet. It, man. The Grave guy.
How long did you work Graves for?
About 5 years. Yeah.
Woo.
Damn.
Long time. Long time, man.
What made you kind of want to stay in the Grave spot?
Like I was saying with like the intentional conversations, I liked it. But then also, it was a lot of like time to sit and think and contemplate and just like let your mind kind of roll whenever no one was there. You're just cleaning.
It's therapeutic. I mean, like closing and stuff, like late night closes by yourself. You have your own music on. You're going at your own pace.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It is, man. You can kind of like think of a question during the day and then like at night, you just like contemplate it, think about it. Yeah. And I like that.
Well, it's crazy too. There's quite a few shops out there where nobody's ever going to experience that. They actually work like 3-4 people on a night shift. Mm-hmm. Like they're just super busy and it just never slows down.
Yeah.
There were times where closing, get a little stir crazy and just want customers. But then other times where, it was really nice just to have like a more mellow pace and, you know, maybe vibe a little bit more, slower music, you know, if you want. Yeah. You know, just kind of get deep.
Exactly, man.
Good times.
Cool for that. I like that kind of stuff, you know.
So ultimately, I guess, who was somebody that kind of encouraged you to be like, hey, you should go apply for the mob?
Well, there was a few things. So like one, I took off and went traveling for a bit. Mm. And so that was like kind of my time. Where do I want to go from here? And then after I got back from that, I came back in with a lot more motivation. Be like, all right, I don't want to come back and sit on Graves all night, you know, by myself. Mm-hmm. I want to get moving and like experience more of that camaraderie of working with people during the day. So I came back and asked, Kenny Heiler was my manager at the time. And
Ken Dog.
Yeah.
And that was for just like a short period, but I started working more days. And I asked him and I was like, dude, I want to get in, work some days. He's like, let's do it. After Kenny, Jessica Pardew became my manager. And we started working a lot more like mornings and stuff together and just got to talking and really just trying to learn like how to be a better leader in the stand, how to communicate with people.
Totally. Being by yourself, you work at your own flow. Then hopping back in, you're working with like five people and you go, shoot.
Way different, man.
Yeah, exactly.
And so she really pushed me like in the direction of like, yo, what about shift lead? And then also Jackson was my manager
Jackson
for
Luckin?
A short time. Yeah.
Friend of the podcast.
Feather plucking?
Yeah, man.
Okay. Yeah, I know him.
That guy. I remember having a few different conversations with him about like, where do I want to go and stuff like that. So he really just got my brain turning like, oh, well, maybe I could do something like that. I never thought I could before, but
yeah.
You have some people pushing you, saying, yeah, you could do that, of course.
Cool.
So that was neat, man.
So what was the interview process like when all of a sudden it's like, I'm going for the mob? Like, what did you have to do?
That was crazy. So I sent in an email saying three different reasons why I wanted to be on the mob and then a little something about me you know, you never want to get your hopes up too much. So mm-hmm. I was just like waiting for that hit back and boom, got a text like, yo, how do you feel about doing a group call this afternoon? And it was like, oh, cool. So got in there super nervous. And then as soon as like, I started talking with everyone, I was like, oh, these are my homies. These are my people.
Yeah, like I belong with you guys.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, we just kind of chatted, like asked questions like, you know, strengths, weaknesses, things like that.
Yeah.
And it was nerve wracking, but I felt like I did okay.
Yeah. Well, they hired you, right?
So here we are.
Well, sorry, I got to cut you off real quick, Sean. We have a very special friend from Dublin, Ireland, who wanted to share a quick little message regarding one of March's featured drinks.
Well, top of the morning to you, lads and lassies. It's Seamus O'Malley McPherson here, talking about one of March's featured drinks. And of course, it's the Naughty Irishman Freeze. It's got Irish cream, it's got hazelnut, it's cold, it's delicious. So remember, get yourself a Naughty Irishman for St. Paddy's Day and do a little jig while you're at it. Yeehaw!
Thank you, Seamus. Back to the podcast with Sean.
So then, when did you go on your first mob mission? What was that like?
So that was in February of last year to Vacaville, California.
Yeah.
And
Kaylee Slover.
Yeah.
Right on.
It blew my mind because like I said, I worked in like a small shop, graveyards for a long time. Going into a shop where it's like, oh, they have two machines working at the same time. And like a rebel freeze. I had never even seen one before. It's like, it blew my mind.
What is
man.
This contraption?
Yeah, dude. Like, this is crazy, but like the best thing ever. It just really humbled me because I'm like, yeah, you know, you kind of, you get through flow in your shop and then you step in someone else's and you're like, I don't know anything. So learned a ton, man. Got humbled a ton. Was in big like observer mode. Trying to soak up everything I can, especially from like the fellow mobsters and the lead mob. And
a lot of the times when it comes to wanting to be a part of the mob, it's a lot of like people who are kind of newer. After like that first year, they're like, I want to be on the mob so bad.
Mm-hmm.
You took the vet route. So when you did go on your first trip, you were new to it, but you were still a vet.
Yeah, definitely, man. Everything I thought that I knew about a shop kind of went out the window. Not like in terms of like the basics, you know,
the operations,
recipes and things like that, but just like how a shop is necessarily like run and like even seeing roles like the flow master, which I'd never heard of before.
Yeah.
You know, someone who like was running drinks out and like, it just blew my mind to like see things like that. Like it just really was like, okay. It's kind of one of those, like, I know nothing. Like, that was that pull also to get like on the mob. Cause I'm like, whoa, I've been here for a long time. Like I'm ready to see something new, some novelty. You know?
It's cool to do. I've definitely encouraged a lot of people here locally in Grants Pass over the years because I think the overall perception of Dutch Bros is like, okay, so it was founded in Grants Pass. That's where the headquarters is. So if you're working in the stands in Grants Pass, that's like the place to be. And obviously there's a legacy here and a tradition here and it's a great place, but we don't get super, super busy. So I feel like for a lot of people that have been killing it at GP, it's like, man, you should go move and work at somebody else's shop. Go to like Sac or Arizona or up in Idaho.
Or just do events, you know.
Yeah, like just because you are going to learn so much because you can kind of only learn so many things and grow so much when you're doing steady shifts as opposed to like getting hit with the chaos.
And also just surrounding yourself with other leaders too, like going and meeting those operators and you see like a whole different way of you're like, oh, that's a way I could coach this idea or whatever, you know, like you just see a different way of like how to communicate and talk and be that like that presence in a room, you know?
And believe me, man, we out here for years have gotten great suggestions from other leaders, franchisees, regional managers all over the seven states that have we've been like, hey, we should implement that company wide and stuff. So those people are everywhere, this company. There's so many people out there that you can jump on a shift and learn a ton from.
It's crazy, man.
It's good to be willing to take it, you know, and look at it from a student point of view.
Yeah, as always.
Who was the lead mob on that team for that first one for you?
That was Mo.
It was Mo right on.
Yeah.
She seems like a good one to ease you into your first.
Yeah, super fun, bubbly, and like, but also get stuff done, push you know?
Yeah.
What are some of the other trips you've gone on?
Federal Way, up in Washington.
Oh, yeah.
Been to Tumwater. Washington, over to Colorado, man. So, and then Vegas, So I've been up to Washington, California a few times.
Nice. Yeah. Like on average, how long are these trips for you?
So I had only done 3 weeks and 1 week up until Las Vegas, where I was there for almost 2 months, for about seven weeks.
Yeah. Wow. What was the reasoning behind that?
It was just crazy busy.
And yeah.
Yeah. It was just not like we were a lot of times working shifts until we could hire and get more people through their interview process and start training them up. It just opened up crazy busy, man.
So kind of just one of those things in their mind, they're looking at like the Nimmer shop and kind of just trying to like roughly guess like, yeah, maybe we need to hire 30. And then all of a sudden they're open and it's like, oh, we need to hire like 40 or 50.
We need more. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Cool.
Yeah. I got a text like, hey, can you be on a plane tomorrow morning? I'm like, yeah, let's do it. Let's
go.
All right. We need people out here right now. So.
Oh man, that's killer.
It was awesome, man. That was a huge shop too.
Yeah. Like, and yeah, they're getting bigger these days.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, they are.
I mean, just compared to like.
compared to Agnes.
My
to like
little cart. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Or the Freddy's cart. Yeah.
The
for sure.
Freddy's cart. Yep.
So, how would you describe the mob to someone who would want to apply for the mob?
I mean, obviously, like everyone there is super skilled at what they do. They got their craft down like to a T, but also they're just amazing leaders in that they can step into an unknown area like that and just kind of kill it and train people up and feel comfortable and make other people feel comfortable, communicate well as a team and things like that.
When you're on a mob mission, is there something that you like, okay, like, can I take this spot, be this guy for this? Or are they always have you doing like other roles?
Roles, yeah. You switch around a bit. Sometimes you're slaying stock. You're basically just there to like support and do whatever the operator needs. So if there's a spot that needs to be filled, you step in and do it. If you're training this day, you're doing it. If you need to hop on a pit and slay it out, you're there. Let's get in there, fill a space that needs to be filled. Let's do it. Let's make it work, you know, and just make sure that everything goes super comfortable and smooth for the operator.
Basically, if you're looking to want to join the mob, it sounds like you got to be pretty well-rounded and just able to just go with the flow, roll with the punches, be wherever they need you and just kill it.
Yep. Adaptable, man.
Yeah,
it's a good word for it.
Well, that's cool. That's good to know. I might try the mob.
Yeah,
get in the there, mob, dude. We could use you, Mark.
No, gosh. It's like light years different, man. It's so crazy to think of like how much this company's grown just operationally.
Yeah.
All the secret menu and the POS and Rebel and the Freeze, like you're saying. Like, it's like, I never had any of that in my day. But it's cool. I mean, it's a good reflection of kind of the overall
growth
vision of the company too, of just like that constant never-ending improvement, like always looking a way to do things better. So you know, you talked about Vegas being kind of a game changer for you, where they opened so busy that you spent extended amount of time there. You shared with us that you're actually going to move there soon. What sparked that made you want to go live there permanently for a while?
There were a lot of things, but like one specific thing that like stands on my mind. I remember getting there and like everyone was super close, but a lot of people just kind of like get there and be like, all right, like I got to go do this other thing and roll out. But like one time I was there like at the end of a night shift, like not on shift. I was just there at the shop and no one knew I was there.
Yeah.
I was with Sarah and we were watching the night crew came out and there was like no shift lead on or anything like that. But these kids got off their night and they came out and they sat down, like no one to tell them like, let's have a post-pow after the shift. And they all sat down and were rapping about it and laughing and like having a good time.
Yeah.
We got up and like gave each other hugs and stuff like that. And I don't know, I just thought of like Vegas as being a new city. Like there's a bunch of people who are hungry for something like that and really want it. And it really was just a big pull to be like, all right, this is a place I don't want to go. I want to be a part of something like that, something special.
Yeah. You know? And you kind of got to help build it up a little bit and you could actually see like this rapport and this bond starting to happen.
Exactly.
Yeah. That's cool. Family, man. It's a good feeling.
Yeah. That's it,
dude,
man.
Dude, killer. So do you have like a hard move-in date?
Not yet. Yeah. There's not like a hard date. So as soon as like the next shop is going to be kind of like breaking ground and getting into works of like opening, I'm going to head down that way.
Cool.
So
does that mean you're still going to be in the mob or?
For the meantime, this might be my going away trip. We'll see whenever like those dates come out. So Casa Grande might be my going away, man.
Yeah. Casa Grande is opening very soon.
One last ride.
Yeah. Actually, dang. By the time this posts, I think it will be open.
Yeah.
We did a podcast with Skylar. We're going to post it and give a little shout out to Casa Grande because it's going to come out like right when his shop opens.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, that's so cool. Yeah.
So it's weird, the future. You're actually in Casa Grande right now.
Oh, hey, how is it down there?
When
is
everybody nice? Hears this, you're already there, man.
Man,
mind blown.
The 88 miles an hour, dude. The DeLorean.
Marty!
Let's go.
Marty!
We have to go back.
Oh, dude, don't get me started. That's like my favorite movie of all time.
Oh, so good.
The best.
Doc, man.
Yeah, I think a lot of us can, you know, safely say that Dutch Bros has been pretty impactful in our lives in some way working for this company. Is there anything specifically with your time at Dutch, Sean, where you feel like it's changed you for the better?
Out the gate in the beginning when I got hired, it like really tore me out of my shell. Mm. It was very like lone wolf kind of, and you know, I guess yeah. what kind of was with the graveyard stuff, but yeah. it really like caused me to like chat with people. And yeah. then over time that just became like inspiring. And then also the community of it all, yeah. you know, I said I went traveling for a bit, and it's funny, like being like overseas and being somewhere cool. And I was like, this is great.
Where'd you go?
I went over to Thailand and Nepal.
Oh, cool.
There you go.
Yeah. Cruised over there and was like backpacking. But I like wish I could have like brought all my my yeah. homies at the stand with me, you know? I miss that community of people and just their like fun loving personalities, you know? It's good.
Moving to Vegas to help with the new shop eventually when that opens up.
Mm-hmm.
Do you feel like Dutch Bros is going to be a long-term goal for you to keep it as like a career, or do you have some other aspirations that you want to do outside of the shop?
This has been something that obviously like I've done for a while now.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like become ingrained in like who I am.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Even having like a few days off of work, I'm like, man, I want to get back in, like hang out with everyone and see all my regulars and everyone rolling through. This is something that I would like to do for a long time. Stay in the shop. It's my vibe. It's where I like feel comfortable.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know why, but stepping through that door, I open up like as a person and become like less like recluse from everything. So, cause I can get that way. I could easily sit at home and be like, play some video games, you know, and just like easily do that. But it really like caused me to come out of my shell. So I really like to maybe be an operator one day and like have a shop and have a, like a home and a family there, a crew of people. So
sweet, yeah.
Yeah. So that'd be something I'd like to do.
Well, that's good. I mean, obviously you're taking some steps to keep going there. So yeah, man.
Working in the shop is fun. Sometimes on my days off. I wish I was just working right now.
Yeah.
Like, I was like, I have nothing to do today. Like, I just want to go back in the stands.
You go by like three times, like, hey, what's up, like, guys?
It's like, are you working today? No.
No.
Yeah.
Just hanging out.
Yeah, that was one thing. I mean, like, I've worked all kinds of jobs. But like Dutch Bros was the only job I can remember where everybody on the crew would come in and hang out like on their days off. Like they'd still like pop in and just want to hang for at least 20 minutes or something. Yeah, it's a special thing, dude, for
sure. It is. It really is, man.
Yeah.
The good old days, Mark.
The good old days.
The good old days.
The milk crate in the back.
Yeah. iPods.
Yo.
Well, Sean, we appreciate you coming out here.
Dude, thanks for taking some time.
Yeah, this has been cool, man.
We kind of always like to wrap it up the same way. If you could give one piece of advice just to our barista audience, what would it be?
Well, like you said, like I took like the vet route with things that I have done.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of taking the long road, and the reasoning is like just enjoying the process.
Yeah.
You have these goals and things you want to do, but really soak up the experience of like right now and where you're at, and not just like constantly being like, I got to get there.
Yeah.
Cause you can miss out on like the good times, which are right now, which is right now.
Totally. In the present.
Yeah.
And really just soak that up and learn as much as you can from like the people around you and enjoy it, man.
Yeah, absolutely.
These are the golden years right now.
Yeah.
For sure.
You're in them, you know?
Yep.
So enjoy it.
Yeah. Those are great words. And if you notice on the coffee table, we've got this fresh, crispy podcast red couch t-shirt.
What?
That is for you, my friend.
No way.
What?
And there's also a little guest book there, and we'd love you to sign it. And all the other Dutchies that have been on the podcast, we're getting them shirts too. They're in the process of being made. So
dang, whoa, cool.
That's our parting gift, man. Thanks, guys. Thank you to being on here. And
yeah
it's my pleasure, man. Thanks for having me on here. Sweet. I love that it's a Batman book too. I have to point that out.
Oh, yeah. Totally.
Yeah.
It's gotta be.
Well, you know, Brant got it, so.
But thanks, Sean. Thanks for coming on, bro.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Guys. Good luck in Casa Grande.
Yeah,
thanks,
baby.
Man. Stoked.
Woo. No, you're already there, remember?
Right?
Hey, how's Casa Grande?
It's so good.
All right, folks. Well, hey, that's going to do it. Thanks again, Sean. We're excited for your journey, your eventual move to Las Vegas. Keep spreading that Dutch love. And just a reminder, just to stay humble, folks, there's so much you can learn. Have an open mind when you go into those situations and just absorb and surround yourself with good leaders. And tune in next week while we continue our mob madness with someone from the lead mob, Miss Ashley Noel Smith. Had a nice little chit chat with her over the phone. Good times. She's a ray of sunshine. Looking forward to that episode. So, until next time, take it easy, Dutch Nation.